Hey everyone, welcome back to the Monclova Baptist Church podcast. We're thankful that you joined us today. Hey, if you would do us a favor at the end of this episode, make sure that you follow us on our social, Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that bell button so that you get notified every time that we post new content. If you also want to stay connected with us beyond Sunday morning, make sure that you download the MRBC app on the Google Play Store or the App Store. Now let's dive in.
Calling his mom, and I had not spoken to him for a little while. We speak. There's great relationship with all of our kids. But my wife was telling me something that was important in his life, and I said to her this. I said, "How come he told you that and not me?" I was a little jealous. And I said, "I haven't talked to him in a couple days, and I'm surprised." She said, "Oh, I talk to him every day." I said, "You talk to him every day, and he tells you all the important things in his life?" She says, "Yeah, it's always been that way." I recognize something, and I wish I could go back and change this, but I'm glad I had a wife, and I'm glad my son had a mom. She said this, she said, "Every major thing in his life, I was always there for. When you were busy working, I didn't miss a ball game. When you had something important in life," she said, "I was always there." And part of me was so glad to hear that my children had a mom that was always there for them. But boy, that circumstance, that situation just stuck me in my heart. I'm glad that he has a mom to talk to every day, and I'm so glad that he has a mom that is a great influence in his life. But part of that, I realized, boy, I miss some important things. And I want to do better as a dad. And I pray that all of us can evaluate things and always seek to do better. But it made me realize this, that moms are probably the most influential person upon the face of the earth. Moms hear the good things. Moms hear the bad things. Moms seek to be so patient. Moms are always there to give dads a look when they say something they shouldn't have in front of their kids. I guess I'm bearing all my sins here today. We had some chocolate or something sitting on the counter, and I said something to the effect of, "Girls, don't eat that. That'll give you zits." And my wife looked at me, and my girls all looked at me, and she said, "You don't say that to teenage girls." I said, "But I did, so what do I do now? I can't take it back." My girls all looked at me and walked out of the room, and I thought, what did I do? Have you guys... Dads, have you ever had that look? You're like, "What did I say?" All the ladies in the house look at you like, "What in the world are you thinking?" And you're just like, "I don't know." Oftentimes, I'm so glad my wife's there to help me as I navigate through teenage years, raising teenagers and raising teenage girls. You know, homes are under attack. Society is not supporting and encouraging biblical homes. Matter of fact, society is doing everything it can to discredit and destroy biblical homes. Last week, we looked at a father's matter in our Family Matter series. This week, I want to look at mom's matter. When God designed the home, he designed the home with a mom and a dad. He designed the home because moms offer something to children, something different than dads offer to children. And dads offer to children something different than moms offer to children. And if you said, which one is more important in the home, the answer would be both. God designed the home for a mother and a father. The heart of the home, though, oftentimes I find is the mother. God designed the home, the father, to be the leader of that home. But the heart of that home is the mother. The temperature of the home is often there because of the heart of that mother. Hannah, is a picture, a passage of scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1. That word Hannah simply means gracious. Here's a mother, and we see this graciousness of this mother. She's in tears, she's crying. And they're living in a time where we don't support this, and this is not something that God planned, but they're living in a age where polygamy was accepted, and Hannah was married to a fella that had two wives, and one wife had children, and Hannah was not able to have children. And so this wife that was able to have children would constantly look at Hannah like she was second rate because she was not able to give children to her husband. And this caused Hannah much grief, and it even caused Hannah some shame. But Hannah went to the temple and began to pray. Hannah, you can see her gracious spirit as she's taking her petition to the Lord, and she's pleading with the Lord to do something in her life. I want you to notice something, that as Hannah's praying for this, she's not praying in a selfish way. She desires a child because she knows that children are a blessing from the Lord. She desires this child not so that she can raise this child so that she can look good as a mother, but we see in what we just read, so that she could raise this child so that she could give this child back to the Lord, so that this child will serve the Lord and bring glory and honor to her Lord. That was the goal. That was the purpose of her wanting this child, is so that her God would have a servant that would serve him and glorify him. I want to challenge every mother here today in this area of raising godly children. But I understand this, moms. It's not easy to raise godly children, but it is possible. If we look at the world around us, and we could use the excuses of it's difficult to raise godly children because of what the environment is. It's difficult to raise godly children in the world of technology that we have. It's difficult to raise godly children with the peer pressures and the things that we're seeing around us. It's difficult. But I want you to understand, it was difficult in Hannah's day. I don't believe that there was ever a time that it was easy to raise godly children. Because to raise godly children, it takes work. It takes dedication. And I want to see today what Hannah did, Hannah's heart, this gracious spirit that she had, so that she could raise a godly child. Because, moms, I want you to understand something today. You can do this. You can raise children that serve the Lord. You can raise children to love the Lord. And today I want to challenge you through the Word of God that you can be successful in this area, like Hannah was successful. But I want to give you several things that Hannah did in order to have this child that she could give back to the Lord. I want you to take note with me again in verse number 10 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." I want you to see, first of all, a mother, a godly mother, must first have right priorities. A godly mother must first have right priorities. Hannah's priorities was this: to have a child. Now, I said this last week, and I'll repeat it every week during this Family Matters series. I may say some things that are difficult to swallow. It's difficult to digest. But I want you to understand something, church. I'm not saying these things to attack you. I'm not saying these things to hurt you. But I am saying these things on purpose to cause us to see some things out of God's Word. My prayer would be, as we're looking at this Family Matters series, that we would evaluate our lives and see all the positive things that we're doing in our families and all the positive things that God's doing, and rejoice in those things. But also, I want to make sure that we are considering some things that maybe are some blind spots, or some things that we're not understanding, so that we can allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and change us. I would never want, as your pastor, I would never want someone to continue to come to church and never change. Oh, there are times, and there should be times often. Matter of fact, I think every service, there ought to be things that we're looking to and we're praising God for. Every service shouldn't be a service where we're getting beat up on something, but every service ought to be something that we're saying, God, change me, grow me, mature my faith, help me see some areas in my life that I cannot see. And our goal through this Family Matter series is simply this, whether it's dads or moms or children's or areas of communication that we'll see in coming weeks, our prayer is that God would open our eyes and see some things in our life that maybe we need to change. There's a movement in our world today, and that movement so often is this, moms becoming everything that describe, or ladies, women becoming everything that describes success with the absence of children. Moving up in the corporate world, having things in life. Almost to this point where children get in the way of the success of a woman. But I want you to see something here in this passage of Scripture. Hannah saw the priority in her life was this, to become a mom. Ladies, don't ever allow society or anyone to minimize the impact and the blessings of being a mother. There is nothing wrong with, you're not second class. Matter of fact, you are doing exactly what God has intended for you to do. When God gave man and woman this wonderful union of marriage, we looked at it last week. When God said, leave your father and your mother and cleave to each other and become one flesh, the command that he gave to those two now that are one flesh was this, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You know what that simply means? Have babies. And the Fry family took it as a personal responsibility. We will do this ourselves. I love that family. But God has said, be fruitful, multiply. Here, Hannah realized that God's priority for the family was children. And so therefore, she knew that this was God's priority. So as she's coming to the Lord, and she's asking the Lord for something, I want you to realize something. She's not asking the Lord for something in a selfish way. She's not asking the Lord so that she can have something. She recognizes this, that children are a blessing. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127:3 says this, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I tell you, that verse there goes against what society is saying. Society says that children are unimportant. That's why some almost 60 million children have been killed in the mother's womb. The mother's womb ought to be the safest, dearest place for a child. But we live in a society today where that can be the most dangerous place for a child. But the Bible says this, children are a heritage. I want you to know that every child on this platform, every child in those nurseries, every child in our children's ministry, every teenager in our youth group is a blessing, is a heritage to the Lord. And moms, thank you for being obedient to the Lord and prioritizing your children and your families. The command from God to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. Children are a blessing, not a burden. I said this last week, and I want to say it again this week. It is not, children should not be in a home where the goal is for children to be seen and not heard. The most beautiful sound in a godly home is the voice of a child. The most beautiful sound, the most beautiful thing is the holding of that baby and recognizing that that child is no accident. That child is a purpose and a plan and a heritage and the fruit from the Lord himself. That child is a blessing from the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 128, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says this, thy wife shall be a fruitful vine from the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about the table. Behold, that this shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. So often when we look at a husband having a wife throughout the Word of God, you know what he says? It's a blessed thing. A man that finds a wife, it's a good thing. It's a blessed thing. A family with children is a blessed thing. Hannah, as she is praying, her priorities are right. There is something wrong. There is something wrong when children are looked at as burdens and not blessings. I pray that your home is a home where children realize that they are blessings and not burdens. Moms, dads, I want to say something to you. Your words matter. Your words ought to be uplifting. Your words ought to be encouraging. Your words ought to cause a child to say, I can do the impossible. Your words ought to uplift that child. You say, well, I don't want to spoil my child. No, listen to me. Your words, your actions ought to be the fire behind that child. So that child realizes that what God has called me to, I can accomplish with God's help. Because I've got a mom and dad behind me that's encouraging me, that's praying for me, that's helping me do great things and mighty things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Parents are important. Grandparents are important. Maybe you say, I didn't grow up in a home where children were a blessing. I grew up in a home where children were seen and not heard. I grew up in a home where words were hurtful. Then you know what you can do? You can change that today as a grandparent. You can say, when my grandchildren come over, maybe I didn't experience this, but I am going to encourage, as a grandmother, I'm going to encourage my grandchildren. I'm going to encourage our home. I'm going to allow our home, when grandchildren come, to be a refuge, to be a place of encouragement, to be a place where I'm going to put a priority. I'm going to encourage. I want to encourage every grandparent here today. Help your children be successful parents. Encourage them. Don't discourage them. Don't ever say, another child, are you serious? You think you can afford this one? No, they couldn't afford the last several. We don't have children because we can afford them. We have children because they're a blessing and a heritage from the Lord. If we waited till we could afford it, there'd be no children. Society, we'd end with us. Encourage them. Love them. Support them. Hannah thought that nothing was better than motherhood. And that motherhood was a blessing, and she desired to be a mom. Now, full disclosure, I have no idea what it's like to be a mom. But I tell you, there's nothing more sweet than seeing and witnessing a mother's love for a child. There's nothing more sweet than seeing a mother with that newborn babe and that connection. I'll be honest, we've got 5 children. I'll be a little bit honest with you, Tom. When I saw my wife look into the eyes of our newborn babies, I got a little jealous. I did. Because there was a love that I saw that I have never seen before. I thought to myself, I'd like for her to look at me like that. And she said, if I could hold you, I would. There's nothing like it. I tell you, that jealousy didn't last very long. That jealousy turned into, I admired that. I admire it with a mom that gives her all to her children. Listen, ladies, we understand, moms, we understand, it's hard work. It's difficult work. And when you think that nobody notices, when you think that nobody cares, I want you to understand something. You're seen. When the amount of work it takes on a Sunday morning to get a child, and especially more than one, I mean, you got to get your husband dressed, and then you got to get your kids dressed. That's hard work. You come in and tired and weary. Thank God you got your priorities straight. Secondly, I see something here in verse number 10. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I want you to see here, a mother's mother must have the right prayer life as well. Not only must she must have the right priorities, she must have the right prayer life. The Bible says here, she was bitterness of soul and she prayed unto the Lord. I begin to think through. There were many women in the Bible who were barren, and then the God touched their womb. And who he touched them with changed the world. These women all prayed. And God used their prayer to change the world. What do you think about that? There's a story of Sarah, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was barren. She was not able to have children. And God granted her. He opened up her womb, gave her a child. And that child's name was Isaac. That child, Isaac, became the father of Israel. The nation that God said, if you bless them, I'll bless you. It changed the world. Rachel was another. Rachel, Isaac's wife, had a son, and he changed the world. His name was Joseph. Joseph was a child that his brothers forsook and sold into slavery. But God used that child from a mom that at first couldn't have children. God gave her a child. That name was Joseph. Joseph went into Egypt and changed the world. I think of Ruth. Ruth's another one. She had a child. That child's name was Obed. Ruth first couldn't have a child. God blessed her. She prayed for a child. She had a child named Obed. Obed was the grandfather of King David. And King David changed the world. Elizabeth is another one. Elizabeth in the New Testament is a woman that could not have a child, and God opened her womb up, and she had a child, and that child's name was John the Baptist, and John the Baptist changed the world. And then here's Hannah. Hannah could not have a child, and she prayed, and God changed this situation, and she had a child named Samuel, and Samuel changed the world. It was Samuel that anointed David the king. I'm simply saying this, prayer changes things. When you've got a petition, Mom, go to God in prayer. When there's a struggle in your home, go to God in prayer. When there's a situation that you're not sure how to deal with, go to God in prayer. When your child is sick, go to God in prayer. When your child is in need of something, go to God in prayer. Understand, Moms, this, that prayer changes things. Would you pray that God would use your child to change the world? Not for us. Not so that our names are in lights. Not so people can say that you have such great parents. But so that the world can say you have a great God. Are you praying, parents, that your children will change the world? Number three, my time is fleeting here. Number three, look again with me in verse number 11. She prays. She says, Lord, if you'll give me this child, she says this, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I want you to see, not only did she have the right priority, secondly, she had the right prayer life. Thirdly, she had the right purpose. She said this, I'm going to give this child back to the Lord. Listen to me, moms. In this wicked society we live in, we need moms that will say, I am going to raise my children to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying every single child has to be in full-time ministry. I'm not saying every child has to be a missionary and has to be a pastor. But every child needs to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every child needs to be a full-time Christian that gives their lives and gives their talents and commits to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. God, give us families in this church where moms say, I'm not going to raise this child to do what I want it to do and to be what I want it to be, but I'm going to raise this child to love the Lord and serve the Lord. And God, at some point, I'm going to give this child back to you and use this child so you receive glory. Well, that every mom would do this. God would give her a gift. She said, God, I want to give this gift back to you. Moms, raise your children to serve the Lord. Because what type of home you are giving your child now is going to have a great, great impact on their life and what they're going to do. So often I failed as a father. I wish there's things I could go back and change. But I'm so thankful that our children had a loving mother. I'm so thankful that our children had an encouraging mother. Someone said to me yesterday, I was on the phone talking with someone, and they said, boy, your son, what a great young man he is. You've done a great job. And I stopped and I said, listen, I'm not trying to be humble here. I'm just trying to be honest. My wife did a fantastic job. My kids had a place that they could come home to, and there was a mom that loved them unconditionally. My kids had a place where they could come home to where mom didn't think that she was second rate because she didn't have a career. She didn't think that she was second best because she wasn't bringing income into the house. She brought something that a career and income could never bring. And that was unconditional love for our children. She was there. There was kindness, there was love, there was affection, there was tenderness. In so many homes, if we're not careful, there's sarcasm and fighting, gossip and anger and revenge. And that's not the spirit we want to give our kids. That's not going to help the kids to want to serve the Lord. You've got to realize, moms, what is your desire? My desire is for my children to serve the Lord. So therefore, you must put the Lord first in everything you do. Because they are going to model what you do, not just what you say. Go with me, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to give you a prayer that every single person ought to pray for their home. Every single grandparent ought to pray for their grandchildren. Ephesians chapter 3. As you're turning there in 3 John chapter 4, the Bible says, verse 4, the Bible says this, I have no greater joy than to have my children walk in truth. That ought to be the goal of every single family here today, every single mom. I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. And there's only one truth, and it's the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14. I want you to see what Paul wrote. And this ought to be a prayer for our homes. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. You see this prayer? That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that which we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That ought to be the prayer of every home. That'll be the prayer of every grandmother, every grandfather, every mom, every dad. That ought to be the prayer. Help this to be our home. And if that is your prayer, then your home must represent that. Hannah had a purpose, and she wanted her child to serve God. Listen to me. It isn't just you can't make your children. Some of us have learned this. You can't make your children do anything. When they're young, they think that you can kill them. And so they'll obey you. In the age they get to, they're like, you know, you really can't. You're like, oh, I'm done. If I don't have their heart, I don't have influence. Here, Hannah recognized, I need to have his heart. If he's going to serve the Lord, this isn't something I can make him do. I can say, Lord, I'm going to give him back to you, but Samuel has to want it. And so therefore, this mother must have the right priorities. She must have the right prayer life. She must have the right purpose. And lastly, I want you to see this. This mother, and all mothers, might have the right persistence. Look with me in verse number 12, back in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And he said, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, but out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Out of my abundance of grief and complaint. You know, no matter how difficult life seems, keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep waiting on God. Hannah was persistent. She was persistent. Moms, I want to encourage you today, be persistent. Psalm 24, 17 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Things might not come out just like you want them to be, but oh, my friend, wait on the Lord. Be persistent in prayer. How many of you are glad that you waited on the Lord in something in your life, and you look back now and you say, I'm so glad I waited on the Lord. I wanted to push through. I wanted to make this happen. I wanted to have it my way, but I look back and I see God worked and God moved and God answered prayer. Listen to me, God hears you. Keep knocking. Because of her persistence, her sorrow was turned to gladness. Her sorrow was turned to peace. Her sorrow was turned to joy. We find in verse number 17 and verse number 18. Why? Because she persisted. What am I saying? Don't give up. Some moms are right in the thick of things. Don't give up. There are some things, moms, that you're dealing with, and maybe you've got adult children, and they're not living the life that you want them to live. Listen to me. Keep praying. Be persistent. Give it to God. Keep pouring your heart out to the Lord. Don't stop praying. Don't get discouraged. Keep your faith. Keep praying. Keep walking with God. Keep talking with God. Keep sharing your heart with God. Don't quit. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are a blessing of the Lord. Even in the most difficult days, never forget children are a blessing. And never forget that your Heavenly Father desires to hear from you. Be persistent. I want to challenge every mom here today. What are your priorities? How is your prayer life? What is your purpose? And how persistent are you? Raising godly children takes hard work, but it is possible. It is possible because you have a Heavenly Father that is the God of the impossible.
You just finished listening to a message from the preaching ministry at Monclova Road Baptist Church. If it was a help to you, make sure that you let somebody know about it. If you need help beyond this message, make sure that you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, or check out our website, monclovabaptist.org, and we would love to connect with you there and help you with anything that you might need. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Monclova Baptist Church Podcast.